Yes, you can. Thank you very much indeed for the welcome and the invitation to be here in the first place. I find it slightly difficult. Since I've retired, I've been to a number of different churches, and the embarrassing thing is that the churches I visit are all doing the things that we tried to do at Emmanuel Wimbledon, but are doing them rather better. Because again and again, we tried to do things, we just got it slightly wrong. So that when there was that film, The Passion of Christ, we had a number of leaflets produced, and our local Odeons got two exits, so we were sending people down in pairs to hand out these leaflets to people who had been to see the film. So our church warden went down with one of our students, and he handed out 50 as people came out. And he went round to the student and said, "How many have you handed out?" And she said, "I haven't handed out any." And he said, "Why not?" And she said, "The film isn't over yet." And he'd been handing them out to people just to see Scooby-Doo 2. solemnly saying, "I think this will help you understand what you've just seen." It will be rather wonderful if in heaven we go up to somebody and say, "How did you get up here?" "Well, I went to Scooby-Doo 2. So it's very impressive to see what you're doing here in Wargrave. Now, if you've got that passage open, let me pray. Our gracious God and Father, we pray that your word will be our rule, if we neither go beyond it nor fall short of it. We pray that your Holy Spirit will be our teacher. We acknowledge that spiritual truth must be spiritually discerned. And Father, we pray that in all things your glory will be our supreme concern, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, you've got the heading, a wonderful, irresistible invitation. And it may be that on some of your mantelpieces back at home, you've got an invitation to a wedding or a garden party or something like that. And you want to make sure that the invitation is to you. And here in verse 1, it's to those who thirst, who feel that there's just something missing. And then you want to know what the invitation is for. So I've just got 3 points about this invitation. And the first of it is that it is absolutely terrific. They were used to water sellers in those days who go up and down the street selling water. But this is an invitation for wine and milk and for something that is very, very satisfying. And it's just a reminder that the Lord Jesus in the New Testament, when he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, the Christian life, always likens it to things like a treasure hid in a field, a pearl of great price, a feast, something very, very wonderful. And therefore I want to apologize when Christians have given us, other people, the impression that the Christian life is rather dreary. It is fantastic. On one occasion, the Lord Jesus said, "The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it in all its fullness." And the world gets that the other way round. If you have anything to do with Christianity, the Jesus of Nazareth, life will be impoverished, enfeebled, inhibited. And if you want life at its best, try something else. Sex, alcohol, drugs, that sort of thing. And Jesus says, "No, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it in all its fullness." So that we've just sung, "Solid joys and lasting treasure, none but Zion's children know." Now, one great example of that from my own experience was a great friend of mine called Mark. Mark was a head boy at Winchester College, and his nickname at school was Captain of Everything, one of those trying people who could do everything. He was a scholar, a scholarship to Oxford, he was an oarsman, he had a size 10 personality. In his gap year, he went to Pakistan. I think he ran Pakistan for a year. I mean, that's that sort of character. At the beginning of his second term at uni, he became a Christian. And I got to know him quite well, and we were walking along the Charwell at the end of the summer term, about now, middle of June, just at the end of that. And this is what he said to me. He said, "Jonathan, do you know, these last 5 months following Jesus of Nazareth has been worth the whole of the rest of my life put together." And this wasn't a failure speaking. Captain of Everything, very, very successful. And yet there was something very wonderful about following Jesus of Nazareth. So it is a great invitation. It's not just something so dreary, it's something fantastic. But then notice, secondly, that it is free. Normally we're rather suspicious when something is free, but look what it says. "He who has no money, come buy and eat without money and without price." There was a family from East Europe who came to this country, and their English wasn't very good, and they had an invitation to a wedding, and it had at the bottom RSVP, and they had no idea what that meant. But he scratched his head and said, "Ah, yes, the member send wedding present." And most people are a bit suspicious, and therefore it's rather striking when Jesus, as I hear, says it is absolutely free. Now, I'm going to lose some friends, but you know that they've said that the English like the gospel because they can talk about it, the Irish like it because they can fight for it, the Welsh like it because they can sing about it, and the Scots like it because it's free. How many friends have I just lost as a result of that? So it is free, and it makes it unique in the religions of the world, because all religions in the world begin with the same two letters, D-O. Do this, do that, do the other. Christianity alone comes along and says, no, it's D-O-N-E. It's all been done for you. Or, if you like this, all the religions of the world begin with the same three letters, M-E-R, and all the others add I-T, merit, earn it, deserve it. Christianity comes along and says, M-E-R-C-Y, it's all a free gift. Now, you've probably heard this before, but do you know who said, Christmas is important, Easter is decisive? Arsene Wenger said it at Christmas 2012. At that stage, Arsenal were top of the league, but that's why he said it's important, but Easter was going to be decisive. At Easter, they were fourth, but they did actually win the cup. But it's very shrewd, isn't it, theologically? At the church I used to work at, they produced a Christmas card every year, and the person who did it had brilliant ideas. And the year before last, the Christmas card was a picture of lots and lots of mince pies, and then in the middle, a hot cross bun. Just making the point that you cannot separate Christmas from Good Friday and what happened there. Because the reason it's free is that someone else has paid the price. I don't know when some of you were taught to learn by heart Gray's Elegy in a Country Courtyard. The curfew tolls the knell of parting day, the lowing herd winds slowly o'er the lea. There was a Victorian ballad written about an incident, a historical incident, that took place at the time of the Civil War. And in the Civil War, one soldier was caught doing something vile and was sentenced to death. And the officer who was going to execute him said, "When the curfew tolls tonight, you will die." And the man's girlfriend, fiancée, pleaded, "No, when the curfew tolls tonight, your man dies." And somehow, she got herself smuggled into the local church and climbed the tower and wrapped herself round the hammer in the great bell. So when the old sexton tried to ring the bell, he was deaf so he didn't notice it, no sound came out. Eventually he stopped ringing. And she staggered down from the belfry. She stumbled, battered and bruised and bleeding, to the scaffold where her man was, and where was the executioner. And the executioner looked at her, realized what had happened, and said, "The bell didn't toll tonight. Your man is free. Take him." Now, it's inadequate, but it's a bit of a picture of what happened when the Lord Jesus died. He was battered and bruised that we might be free and come into, well, what another thing with Christianity is unique, coming into a relationship with him. Did you know that Christianity was the only religion in the world that is based on a friendship with its founder? You can't know Buddha, you can't know Muhammad, you can't know Mahavir, you can't know Lao Tse or any of those. But it's all based on a friendship with Jesus, made possible because he died on the cross in our place. So it's fantastic. It is wonderful. It's wine, not dirty water. It's a treasure. It is free because someone else has paid the price. But then if you notice it in our reading, it is urgent. Did you notice that? Verse 6. Seek the, my version is slightly different from yours. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. So, RSVP, yes, there needs to be an acceptance. Do you know the story of George Wilson? George Wilson was a criminal in the United States who was sentenced to death. This is a couple of centuries ago. And President Andrew Jackson issued a presidential pardon. George Wilson refused to accept it. And the case went before the Supreme Court. And they decreed that a pardon to be effective has to be received. George Wilson refused to receive it, so he was executed. And tragically, it is possible that when this gracious invitation comes to us, something fantastic, totally free, to refuse it. There's a danger in that. When I worked at St. Helens Bishopsgate, the rector, Dick Lucas, told of a time when he was a curate in Sevenoaks, and he went to see a doctor in hospital who was dying. And Dick Lucas pleaded with him to accept the gospel. And the doctor said, no, it's too late. I was confirmed, and I took it seriously. I listened, but I didn't actually do anything about it. And then when it came to marriage, well, we had good marriage preparation. I was told the gospel, but I said no. And then when our children were baptized, again, I had the gospel explained to me clearly, and I said no. And now it's too late. And Dick Lucas pleaded with him, and yet as he walked away, he said to himself, well, it possibly was too late, because he'd got into the habit of saying no, no. So you know the old story of, imaginary story, of three junior devils having their final exam before they were sent out into the world to stop people from becoming Christians. And the devil examiner said, now what are you going to say to people? And the first one came up and said, I'm going to tell people that there's no God. And the devil's tutor said, you get a very poor third for that, because most people know that there's a God. It's very difficult. It's unbelievable what you have to believe in order to be an unbeliever. So not many marks for that. And the second one came up and said, I'm going to tell people that there's no sin. There's nothing to worry about. And the devil tutor says, well, if you read the papers, if you look in the mirror, you must know that there's something wrong. Possibly a 2-2. And the third one came up and said, I'm not going to tell people that there's no God. I'm not going to tell people that there's no sin. I'm going to tell people that there's no hurry. Call on him while he is near. Now, some of you will remember Kenneth Clark of Civilization fame. What do you make of this? I lived in solitude, surrounded by books on the history of religion, which have always been my favorite reading. This may help to account for a curious episode that took place on one of my stays. I had a religious experience. It took place in the church of San Lorenzo, but it did not seem to be connected with the harmonious beauty of the architecture. I can only say that for a few minutes, my whole being was irradiated by a kind of heavenly joy, far more intense than anything I had known before. This state of mind lasted for several months. And wonderful though it was, it posed an awkward problem in terms of action. My life was far from blameless. I would have to reform. My family would think I was going mad. And perhaps after all, it was a delusion, for I was in every way unworthy of receiving such a flood of grace. Gradually, the effect wore off, and I made no effort to retain it. I think I was right. I was too deeply embedded in the world to change course. But that I had felt the finger of God, I am quite sure. And although the memory of this experience has faded, it still helps me to understand the joys of the saints. So there is a man who heard it all, experienced it, but didn't respond. And what our verse 6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. There are those times when he comes especially clear. You hear him, possibly preparing for a wedding, marriage, possibly this week, possibly this morning. Call on him while he is near. Now, one of the things we're not equipped with at Theological College is that we're not equipped with X-ray eyes. So I just don't know the heart condition of people here. I've known Julia for years, I know the Teagues, I know Johnsons, so on. But otherwise I don't know. And I imagine that most people here are rejoicing in this glorious truth. They've discovered the wine, the free. There'll be some people who say, this is preposterous. This is absolutely ridiculous. Well, be careful. It is the most important issue in the world. And then there are some who say, right, it's all been so nominal for me. I want to make it first-hand and real. You can do that today. You can do that as you join something like Christianity Explored and have it absolutely real and first-hand. If you or I was the only sinner in the world, the Lord Jesus would still have died for you. And therefore the invitation comes. It is wonderful. It's free. RSVP. Respond. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the glorious invitation and for this tremendous truth that you want us to have life at its best, something that is very, very wonderful. Thank you again that it's absolutely free, because the Lord Jesus died to make it possible. So once again, we want to thank you for that first Good Friday when he died in our place. And we have asked that many of us here will be rejoicing in the wonder of knowing this wine without money, without price. We pray that you'll have mercy on those who think it's absurd and ridiculous. And for those who are seeking and inquiring, we pray, dear Father, that you'll help them to pursue their investigation till they too discover the pearl of great price, the wine without money and without price. And we ask this in the royal and precious name of Jesus. Amen.